It's the Brouhaha Podcast with Steve Jackson and Mark Carpenter.
It is time for the Drive Hop Monk Brouhaha.
Hello.
Brought to you by Hop Monk and Della Tofala. And I'll talk about Della Tofala in just a bit here. In the meantime,
I heard Linda. Why, me?
No, I know your name. aren't we still sponsored by
Willoughby's? Yeah, and actually, they've got a big event tonight.
Please talk about it.
They're doing a big bourbon tasting with my friend Frank Jacuba. It's like they're doing like some high end whiskeys and other things like that tonight. Over at the Hyatt. It's like $50, but you're getting a taste all this super high end stuff. And I know how Frank is. He's going to pour all kinds of cool stuff.
Okay, Uber or Lyft.
Yeah. Both.
Yeah. Use both.
Flop your wings, something, but do not drive.
Quickly tell everyone about Willoughby's. They're in Petaluma and downtown Santa Rosa.
They do amazing stuff. They're so cool.
Mark Carpenter and I went down the other day and just hung out with Vikram, the owner, and did a bunch of tasting. They have like 10 taps rotating all the time, both of local and some stuff that we don't normally have around here, which is kind of fun. They also are doing wines, you know, where they have like the nitro wine so that it doesn't get like air in it and stuff. So they're always have like 10 wines on. They have I call it the treasures room, where it's like this has like, you know, Pappy Van Winkle and, you know, the high end wines and, you know, scotches and things. But then they have all the stuff you'd want for a Christmas party, New Year's Eve party, Hanukkah. They have an incredible selection of cold champagne, which is nice. You can go in and grab a bottle that's already cold, as well as bitters, things for cocktails, and sandwiches. They always have food.
It is a great place.
Taco Tuesdays.
I know Mark Carpenter, who couldn't be with us today, but he's there a lot.
Yes.
He loves.
Yeah, he pops into the Petaluma one pretty much a couple times a week to pick up something unusual. They have an incredible selection of imported beers as well. And they're always getting stuff that people can't normally find too, like Revision, you know, out of Nevada. That's like is like named what number 3 new brewery in the U.S., number 1 in Nevada, and they've always got, you know, several cans of that going. And I brought beer.
You just got back from China, and
I did.
You brought some rice wine that we're going to taste.
Yes.
Love rice wine.
Yeah, and it's different than, like, sake. So people think of sake as rice wine, which sake is actually brewed like beer.
Right.
It has, like, the koji, which, you know, like their type of yeast. And, you know, and Sam, you can jump in with me whenever you want. I have my friend Sam Holloway here.
Well, he's a big shot.
He is a big shot.
Great to meet him. The company is Crafting a Strategy, craftingastrategy.com. Sam Holloway, welcome, dude. Good to meet you.
So good to be here. Thank you for having us.
Where are you based?
Based in Portland, Oregon. So
you
it's
are.
A short flight down here to come meet Herlinda and meet other people in the beer industry and taste some great beers as part of the California Craft Brewers Conference.
Well, explain what crafting a strategy is all about.
So we're an online learning community for serious brewing entrepreneurs. So I'm a college professor. I've got a PhD in strategic management, and I am a part owner of a brewery, and I spend my life studying breweries. So I literally have the best job in the world. I fly all over the world listening to brewery owners tell me their problems. I think about them. I think about how if you're a small brewery, your problems are different than if you're a big brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically rewrote everything that we teach in a normal MBA from the perspective of a small brewer. Got about 180 digital lessons that people can download anywhere in the world. We actually have members in 14 countries spread across the world, including China.
Jeez.
Got one of my early members here, Steve Waters, who's joining us, who's the CEO of Backwoods Brewery in Carson, Washington.
Howdy. Carson, Washington.
Yep. Tiny little town there.
What are you guys doing in town?
The California Craft Brewers Conference is actually happening. So we were all...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we were all down at Russian River Brewery yesterday for the welcome reception.
The new one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool.
They
huh?
can really
Amazing.
Spread cool. out there.
This is the Drive Brouhaha. Herlinda's here. What is Mark Carpenter doing?
I think his daughter roped him into doing something for her new house today.
Well, good for him and her.
Yeah, which is nice. I wish my dad was around to do, you know, work on stuff for me.
So joining us today, the iconic beer consultant, Sam Holloway from Portland, Oregon, where my son grew up and lived until just recently. He's back in the Bay Area now, but I used to love going up to Portland and hanging What a great town.
It's a great town. There's a lot of great beer there, just like there's a lot of great beer here in Santa Rosa and in the larger Bay Area. So we're pretty spoiled. I actually just spent the last year living in Europe, studying European beer markets, because, again, I have the best job in the world.
In the Netherlands, where my friend Kim Lynch is, who's been on the show before.
And they have a lot of other great beers over there, but I really miss the West Coast IPA, and so it's good it's good to be back.
Right on. And you were hanging at Russian River this week.
Yes, both Russian Rivers in the same day. We'll call ourselves even luckier.
Yeah, yeah. That was not too bad.
And, Steve, talk about your brewery. It's in the state of Washington.
Yeah, it's Backwoods Brewing Company. We're down in the Columbia River Gorge.
God, that's beautiful.
Yeah, we started there in the beautiful small town there. And then we just opened a tap room in downtown Portland this last July.
Nice. How long have you been doing this?
It's 6 years old. We started in July 2012.
And it's totally family owned. His parents started it. And so, like, the brothers and the kids and the family are all doing it. And I think I have to go check it out up there.
Yeah, Sam and I reconnected. I was a student of his at the University of Portland, and we reconnected by me coming to him and saying, "Hey, my family's got a brewery. You're a beer guy. Please help me. I need help."
And I want to talk more about crafting a strategy, but we will do that in a moment. Now, Herlinda just got back from China. How long were you there?
I was there for 10 days.
Wow.
I was it was incredible. I mean, I loved Shanghai. I was a little worried before I went because it's a city of Google says 25 million people. While I was there, they were telling me 30 million people. There's a lot of people. It's the most populous city in the world.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. It's incredible. So I was moderating the first olive oil summit ever in China. This was part of the food and hospitality, F&H. Take six Moscone centers and lay them in a row. And there it was all like food, wine, big chef competition, 1,000 young chefs.
Did you have a translator?
Yes. So I was the English person because there are people there from all over the world. And then my friend Michelle Wang and her friend Shirley, who owns the Tech Gastronomy School there, they did the Chinese translation, of anything I said and vice versa. So, yeah. And then I got to moderate the Top Chefs of Shanghai competition. Like one guy has two Michelin stars. We went to his restaurant, too. And that was really fun. Alton Brown on Next Iron Chef. Oh, what is that you're putting there? Oh, jellyfish? Oh, what are you going to do with that? And kind of that was super fun.
Let's first talk about this is Chinese beer.
So this is a Chinese beer. This is from Wenchen.
I like it.
It's really good, huh? Yeah. So this is a small brewery. So I actually got asked also to co-host the first China Brewers Association Beer Awards. Wang was the Chinese speaking one, and I got to pronounce everybody's names properly and introduce the vice president of AB InBev for all of Asia. And, president of Snow Brewery, which is the largest brewery in the world. It's a Chinese brewery. And then they did a microbrewery competition as well, which they call it microbrewery, which I haven't heard that said in a long time around here. But so this is actually a small brewery. It's called Wenchen, and this is a orange wheat beer, and it's really good.
They did a really nice job.
Sam, your thoughts?
Yeah, so China is a fascinating place to study beer. I went over there for the first time in 2015 to speak at their first ever national beer conference. And, at the time there were maybe less than 100 small breweries, and most of them were in Beijing and Shanghai. And when I went back just a few years later, there were several hundred more, and it's just exploding. And so it's really neat to see the Chinese people embrace that beer can be flavorful, that it can be a luxury good and not just something that's cheap and easy to access.
What's the most popular alcohol in China? Is it beer or is it rice wine or what?
Baijiu.
Popular is a hard word to say. I would say baijiu is a very traditional drink.
No, what's baijiu?
They drink a lot more beer in China than anywhere else in the world. It is the world's largest beer market by far.
I had no idea.
So there's a lot of beer being consumed in China, no doubt.
Yeah.
What is baijiu or whatever you said?
Baijiu is a really strong liquor. It reminds me more of Everclear. Michelle didn't want me to try.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really, really, really strong. And so the numbers just came out on liquors in the world, like by by volume and sales. And the top three were Baijiu style, like their brands were the top ones in the world.
And it's what's it close to as far as we know in America?
It's kind of a sacred drink because when I was in the Netherlands teaching my Chinese students, when at the end of the course, I wasn't quite sure if they were celebrating being done working with me or if they were celebrating that they had a good experience. We never got that far. But they poured some amazing baijiu, and you have to be careful with that stuff. It'll catch up to you really quick.
So what does it taste like as far as, you know, something that we would know here?
I thought it was more like almost like a strong vodka, almost like Everclear in a way. I mean, it's like
the strength overwhelms the flavor. That's my opinion. I need to drink more of it, I guess, so I can really appreciate it, which I'm more than willing to do. If any of the listeners out there are interested in helping me understand baijiu better,
can we get baijiu in the United States?
Yes. Yeah. And actually, I'm thinking about going up to San Francisco and picking some up and bringing it down one day.
Do you think Bottle Barn has any? We'll find
out. It, but let's find out. Either that or Willoughby's. One of them might have it. They both have some pretty
It doesn't sound like
stuff.
Something I want to get into.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is rice wine.
This is a Chinese rice wine.
It's like brown in color.
Yes, and it's strong.
The nose turns me off.
Yeah, it's fermented rice, and they let it get, like, you know, stronger. And it is different than sake, where sake has a koji yeast, and then it's brewed. The grains are cooked and brewed like beer with sake. But with this, they actually let the rice like ferment, like grapes ferment, like apples ferment for cider, grapes ferment.
Sam just looked at me, rolled his eyes, and said, "I don't know about that."
Yeah,
you're the expert here, Herlinda.
It's a trip. So what they do there, they say gambay. It means bottoms up. And if they say gambay, or if you say gambay, you better polish it off. So, ready?
Wow. Don't say gambay to me. I can't polish this.
Gambay.
Salute.
It makes it easier to do.
I have to say, I'm not a fan. But what do we know the alcohol content?
I think it's about...
Ask me in about a half hour.
Yeah.
You'll know just off
the top. But it's kind of vanilla-y on the finish.
It's not horrible.
The wood in the finish.
I would never buy any and drink it.
Yeah, it's
and
different.
I like sake, but this has nothing to do with sake.
No. So. And it's in this beautiful porcelain white and blue bottle with lettering and everything. And this was a gift from them for me moderating this olive oil summit. And so this is a really highly priced. This is like a $70 bottle of wine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Steve, your thoughts.
It's different. You can definitely kind of taste the rice flavor to it more than I feel
I
like
that.
More than I feel like you can with sake too. You know, sake really changes.
But we still don't know the alcohol content.
I think
it's probably in Chinese and none of us.
Yeah, if I remember
Chinese.
Correctly, it's about 18% like percent. So like a strong wine.
Strong wine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really strong
Yeah,
wine.
And the baijiu, I think it was like 90 proof.
Good God.
Something like that.
90% maybe.
90%, yeah. 90%, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Do you know if this one's supposed to be served warm or cold or room temperature?
Cold. Really? So I tried to chill it as best I could through the thick porcelain, but
Well, I love the bottle. Don't love what's in the bottle, but...
I do have another one I'll bring another day that I picked that was like more like what I liked. It was like kind of white and bubbly. I was going to tell you about the food that we had there, though. I thought you'd probably find it interesting. I had these soup dumplings that like they take ground pork and ground shrimp together and they put it inside of like a flour dumpling, like almost like a wonton wrap, and they steam it and then the pork and the shrimp juices like melt together and they become a soup inside the dumpling and you pick it up and you hold a soup spoon under it and you bite into it and you suck the soup out of it and then you eat the dumpling. Is that like one of
They're
the best
amazing.
Things ever?
It's one of the best things I've ever eaten.
It sounds like one of the best things I would ever
it's
want.
It's insane. Yeah. And we went to a little hole in the wall place. They took me to Michelin starred restaurants and little holes in the wall where they knew that they had the best food. And so they offered me wonton soup with that or duck blood soup. I have to say I went ahead and I passed on the duck blood soup. I told them I don't really like liver and I know blood to me tastes a lot like liver. But I did say yes to chicken feet, cow esophagus.
Duck Blood is playing at Hop Monk this weekend.
Pork belly that they make with rock sugar, soy sauce, and ginger. Ooh. And they make it like braise it, and then they crispy wok it. Oh my God, isn't that amazing? Like, and a lot of whole fish, every kind of mushroom you can think of or not think of even, and like a lot of fish. Lots of vegetables, lots of greens. It was seriously the best food I've ever had in the world was in Shanghai.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And it's hard to get. We probably really have a hard time finding that stuff here, right, at Chinese restaurants.
Well, we're lucky because we live near San Francisco.
Maybe
that we
in
have
New York
a lot
or
of
San
stuff.
Francisco, yeah.
But they but the variety. I mean, I had mud snails out of the river,
you know,
and water celery.
In China, the beer or the food is very localized. There's different styles in different regions, so
right.
It's a lot like, you know, the craft beer is here.
Sure.
And one of the things that was interesting about being in China and researching beer was that, you know, China has a culinary tradition that's thousands of years old. And I think when they get to the point where they sort of stop making beer that tastes like the stuff we make here in America and start making beer that's aligned with their culinary traditions, it's really going to take off even faster over there.
Yes, good point.
The brewers that I respect the most, I feel like, in the industry are culinary people. They're people who care about taste and combining taste.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
Like Vinny. Like, you know, Vinny cooks. Like, he cooks with, like, people like Garrett Oliver. And
Vinny Chalurzo
from Russian River Brewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that actually totally makes sense of, like, what you guys are talking about. Like, because of, you know, he knows flavor.
How great are Vinny and Natalie? I mean, just in terms of just stewards of the industry.
Amen. My God, I love them so much.
Absolutely.
Drive Hall of Famers. And
without
them, and it's, they're amazing.
Yeah. Ken Grossman from Sierra Nevada was there yesterday, too, at Russian River for the Craft Brewers Conference welcome reception.
Wasn't he in when I was out?
Yeah, he was in, and then he called in while I was in Shanghai because they had 65 people lost homes in the campfire, and they're brewing that beer, Resilient. So Natalie's going to come in a couple of weeks with the finished beer, and we're going to have it on air.
My brewery in Eugene, Oregon, Oakshire Brewing, we also brewed Resilience IPA, making a donation.
Thank you.
Several actually crafting a strategy breweries spread all across the United States, over at least 10 got in on that, and over 1,000 breweries total brewed Resilience IPA to help the relief.
Steve, what's your last name again? I'm sorry.
Waters.
Steve Waters.
Yeah.
That's easy to remember.
One of the ingredients of beer.
There you go. Exactly. Sam Holloway is here. He's president of craftingastrategy.com. For our 5 o'clockers who are just joining us, explain again exactly what you guys do. Is it all about beer?
Yes.
Just about beer?
Just about. Well, it's about making money with beer.
So.
And that's what you're doing in China, too, so I want to throw that in there
so,
as well.
You know, the beer industry, particularly the craft beer industry, there's this wonderful ethos and community around the making of beer, fermentation science, all the creativity, all the collaborations that happen. And me and a couple of co-founders and another professor, we felt there was something missing. We felt that in order for this craft beer renaissance to continue and grow, we needed to give them the business expertise in order to enjoy running a profitable business that could match the creativity they have in making beer. We needed them to be able to make enough money to sustain this renaissance.
Exactly. And you know, here in wine country, we have Santa Rosa Junior College, which has this amazing culinary program and an amazing culinary building and kitchens and stuff, but they also teach folks how to make wine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, finally, Sonoma State University started a business program.
It's a great program.
And she's involved. But yeah, it's like, okay, you're making great wine. Now you got to learn how to sell it and make some money so you can keep doing it.
Well, and that's where somebody like Steve comes in. So, you know, I may be a professor that has a lot of time to kind of nerd out on this stuff, but the beer industry changes so quickly that it really takes a community of experts across accounting, law, finance to really make sure that you can run a profitable business. And Steve's a CPA, and he sort of worked in public accounting for a long time and then came to work for his family business to try to make sure they could be profitable because initially they weren't. They were a typical story of a wonderful company, beloved in their community, family-run, making great product. Everybody loved their beer, but it wasn't quite panning out the way that the business wanted to when you got involved, Steve.
Yeah.
So talk more about how you learned all that.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Moss Adams. They're doing a lot of great work down here, which is amazing to see. I earned my chops there with them in public accounting and then joined the family business and with kind of the same task that Sam helps breweries with all the time, which is just, hey, we had a lot of fun getting this thing started up. We need to figure out how to make it continue to exist. And so that's, you know, that was definitely my main goal with my family's brewery. And then I try to jump on and help out at crafting a strategy as with, you know, Sam has his member experts that have knowledge in different topics. And I try to help out with that as much as possible.
You guys do that online with people.
Yeah, so it's all online. So we have a forum, and so somebody might ask a question. We had a great forum post last Tuesday from a brewery in Oregon that said, I'm really struggling with balancing the predictability of my core IPA and some of the core beers that I like with the innovative beers that are hard to predict their costs that my customers love and want. How do I run my business to make sure I can have predictable margins on my core beers but also deliver the innovation and creativity that my brewing team loves and my mm-hmm. customers love? And how do you strike that balance? And within about 6 hours, I think we had four different brewery CEOs in our network get online and say, here's how I do it, here's how I do it, here's how I do it.
Hey, and wait a minute, look at Louis's got his Christmas costume on. Louis, our mascot, one of the cutest dogs in the world.
He's so cute.
That's a cute dog.
How long, Steve, how long have you been a CPA?
I got my start with Moss in 2010.
Yeah, all right. So. Well, I wish you lived here because I'm doing my best to stay out of San Quentin.
Oh, yeah.
With the whole tax thing. But
he can help you out. He's really good.
We'll talk.
Yeah, we'll talk.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. So, and then you're going to be doing this in China, which is unusual because, they are really into capitalism there now, even though it's a
communist
country. Yep. They are all about the money. You wouldn't believe the luxury there, Steve. There's Teslas everywhere and Audi sports cars and Maseratis and these luxury malls that are with Prada and
particularly, you know, in Shanghai.
Yeah, in Shanghai there's just so much money. It's just crazy. But they're all wanting to do, you know, breweries and beer and music and those kind of things, but it's still the same thing though, but it's also they've got government owned breweries, which is different than what we have here.
Yeah, so
how are you going to help them with this?
It's
you're going to teach there for a month, right?
So our friend Michelle Wong, who's a very impressive entrepreneur over in China, she's editor of one of the most read beer magazines. And so Michelle and I have known each other for about 4 years. And, you know, I try to help breweries anywhere in the world make more money so they can create more jobs and create more happiness and grow their companies. And one of the challenges that you mentioned in China is a lot of the large breweries are owned by the government. And so it can be really tough to get a brewery license in China.
Yeah, well, I can imagine.
So the trick is you get a restaurant license, which are pretty easy to get, and then you add beer tanks to your restaurant.
Really?
And that's the workaround that all of these Chinese craft breweries have made, including Boxing
Cat. And so the government says, well, okay, that's okay.
Yep.
Really?
At least so far.
I was going to say,
At least so far.
It was luxury restaurants with breweries inside them.
Unbelievable.
And the largest, Starbucks in the world that's doing beer, too.
Oh, I can only imagine the largest Starbucks in the world in China, and they're doing beer.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
It's insane.
It is The Drive Brouhaha with Hop Monk, and it is also brought to you by Della Tofola. For over 60 years, they've been making equipment for the wine, beer, and beverage industries worldwide. They're based in Santa Rosa, and it's everything from crushers to conveyors and pumps to presses, filters, fillers, complete packaging solutions. If you're in the biz, go to DellaTofola.us. Okay, beer consultant, business consultant, Sam Holloway is with us, and Steve Waters from a small brewery up in Washington.
Backwoods Brewing Company.
Yeah. Backwoods, and now you've opened a tasting room in Portland.
Yeah, downtown Portland.
Uh-huh. And but I told you my son was, from
your
Portland.
Your old stomping ground.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and that's where Sam
lives. Yeah, we both live in the Portland area. I live right downtown.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So, again, it's craftingastrategy.com, and it's just to help people out in the craft beer industry all over.
Yeah, on the business side. And, you know, the exciting part, our newest venture is in China, where they're building a graduate-level university for brewing.
Wow.
And unlike most of the other high-end brewing schools worldwide, they're really focused on business, and that's why they've asked me to be involved. So I'm going to create the business curriculum for this entire university and hopefully for other universities in China.
Holy
it's a pretty
crap, dude.
Exciting responsibility.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. And you guys are all here for the thing with the stuff and the thing.
The California Craft Brewers Conference.
San Francisco?
No, it's at the Hyatt here in Santa Rosa.
Oh.
So if you have a brewery or you're in the some kind of the business of beer, that is the place to be till
all the way until about noon tomorrow.
Yep. They're doing talks on you know, business. And,
open to the public.
Yeah. No.
No.
That's for the industry.
Industry members.
Tom McCormick runs it.
We
have in here all the time.
Yeah.
So it's a member run.
Okay.
Yeah. They still have a lot of fun, though.
All right. Steve Waters, Sam Holloway, great to meet you guys. Thanks so much for popping in.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for the drinks.
Thank you.
We may have to call you every once in a while when we have, like, business question stuff. You can be a little call-in consultant for us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Out of Portland. Yeah, we need to do that.
I love this stuff. Anytime.
Okay, cool. Erlinda, we'll see you next week.
Oh, yeah. I might go visit my dad for his 75th birthday. But Mark will be here with Steve Doty from Shady Oak.
All right, cool. That's it for us.